Yeah. I'm here. Let's get this thing started. It's the Winning It Life program here. Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. I am your co-host, James Parker. Hey there, how you doing? People are already saying hi on Periscope, huh? This is the finance show that helps you be better with your money. You like money? Well, then this is your show. If you don't like money, flip the channel. I'm not supposed to tell people that, but I'm just assuming everyone likes money. And I like it on a day like today, when the financial world is making the biggest headlines out there for a couple of reasons. I kind of feel like the cute girl at the prom again. Why? Aren't I always the cute girl at the prom? If you have a financial situation and you are not quite sure what to do, you can give us a call, see if we can help you out. 504-260-0995. What do you mean we? I mean me and Angie. Gregory's out, so Angie's going to be picking up some slack. You ready to do some financial advice today, Angie?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
Get it done.
Don't worry. We'll talk about Trump and the tariffs. We'll talk about the big old drop in the Dow today. Don't worry. No records were set today, that's for sure. And we'll talk about where it's going after that. Usually at this point, I'd be telling you about the first Gregory Ricks Live of 2018, but it is almost sold out. So, in fact, Angie, I'm going to check tomorrow. We may have to start pulling the commercials for it because it's already full up. So, listen, if you've been procrastinating and putting it off, or you've been thinking about going, or at least thinking about making the call and talking to someone from the office, hey, what's this all about? Who's this for? Do I even qualify? Are you guys even interested? Is this something that'd be a good fit? You can call the office now. We have an after-hours team that will take your information and line you up. And when the crew gets in the morning, the daytime crew, then if you were first on that list and we only have, two seats available, well, then you're going to be the first couple that gets offered those two seats. So there's a waiting list that is going to happen for the, and we'll let you know when the next event comes up, and you'll be first in line for that if you call in and you don't get on the one that's coming up on Tuesday. But the phone number for the office, this is the phone number to call and reserve. Go ahead and get in line, because I think we have about four, maybe six seats left. I don't know. When I checked this morning, we were down to 10, but they were like, yeah, we got a few people we got to call back today. So that number, the office, to get in on Gregory Ricks Live, 504-832-9200. If you don't remember that, it's on the Winning It Life app, or you can go to gregoryricks.com. Dude, it's 2018. You know how to find a phone number, right? We're not kids anymore. Angie, are you at the belief now that commercials don't need to put in phone numbers anymore? Because I'm already there, and I still do it on a lot of the spots because there's a lot of people who still live in that world.
Are we really past phones now?
No, not past phones. Just talk. You hear that? You hear in her booth? They're doing the floor outside of her booth.
Right. You can hear that? Wow.
And what are they doing it with, a hurricane? Anyway, yeah, we're almost there. We are almost there where we stop giving out phone numbers on commercials because most people don't write them down anyway. I don't write down phone numbers ever.
Well, no one does, but that's why they have the catchy themes or whatever for the commercials. So you can remember the phone number.
Just what's your website, or I don't even need to know your website. You know, if there's Joe Schmo's Pizza and they give you the phone number, I don't write down Joe Schmo's Pizza. I go, Siri, what's Joe Schmo's Pizza's number? Or call Joe Schmo's Pizza, and she'll be like, call, and it'll put up a number. Is this what you want to call? And you confirm it, and it goes.
Well, if you see an advertisement and you don't see a way to contact them, it means you're going to have to go through Google or online to find out. And that kind of saves a step, knowing the number, don't you think?
Hey, look, it's somewhere in the fierce battleground between efficient and lazy where I live. And I think it's less work to not rush and grab a pen and try and or grab out your phone and try and type in the number real quick, to try and catch a number as it's being thrown to you in a streaming audio format, as opposed to casually not stopping what you're doing, going on about your business, making a mental note, and then just checking in.
Well,
later.
Maybe just get rid of the number and just do the website, if there's a website, because
that's what we're thinking about doing. Look, we're dealing with that on this show right now, and we have it all on the app. We really just need to push the app, and the only people we're excluding is the percentage of the population that doesn't have a smartphone. And while Angie, you and I could not live for 2 days in a row without a smartphone, there's a big chunk of people that still have brick phones, the clamshell phones.
Mm-hmm.
And God forbid, dare I say it in public, I don't know, this might be a vulgar word at this point, but landlines, Angie.
My 61-year-old aunt has a landline and recently called to book a bus ticket where we could just go online or on my phone and do the same thing and get it done in less than 10 seconds. She called and spoke with an individual recently, and I thought when she told me that, wow, that's so old school of you to actually pick up the phone and call someone and reserve something.
Right. Did you pay in continental dollars? Hey, last night we had a blast. Big thanks go out to our sister station via the iHeart Network, WNOE, the number one country station in the New Orleans market since going back to the dinosaurs, I think. And I was hoping that there were some people who were listening on our Biloxi affiliate. Someone drove down from Gulfport or whatever to Boomtown Casino, because the concert last night was pretty cool, if I do say so myself. And Angie, do me a favor. Can you play a little Buy Me a Boat just a second?
I'm looking
for it. Because what I did here, and I've also evolved a little bit in how I handle some of these situations where you're going to concerts or an award show or some stage play or your kid's recital even or a Saints game. And I used to video everything. Well, now I don't have to video anything because everyone around me is videoing it, and I can just go steal their videos. But also, like, if you go to your kid's recital, you know, they take a video for it, and they're like, parents, put your damn phones down. If you want a video of your kid, we'll make it available for you on the website after the recital. Because it gets real annoying because everyone in front of you had their phones up for a few years there. But I did take one video. Now turn this up for a second. This is what the song sounds like on the radio. The full produced, beautiful version with all the echo and all the extra instruments in there. But what WNOE does when they partner with St. Jude. Go ahead and start fading this down. We partner with St. Jude every year. And it's a benefit concert. You know, for helping the kids. I mean, we're just curing cancer last night, that's all. But they do something a little different. Since it is free, the artists are donating their times, the record companies are donating their time, and they're actually losing money on the deal because they're pouring resources into this. You know, WNOE's donating their time as well. No one got paid for doing what they did last night. So they don't bring the whole thing. They don't bring their whole stage setup. They don't bring their signage. They don't bring their gear. They don't even bring a drum kit. So it's just like it's been for the last two or three years. If you've been listening on this show, it was Carly Pierce and some fella playing a guitar on one side of her, an acoustic guitar, and some other guy playing the box he was sitting on, you know, the little percussion box. And then there's Eric Paisley. By the way, he's taller than me. That dude's like 6'5". I know, he's a giant. I'm used to being like the Shrek in the room, and I go up to him. I'm like, this guy's like a whole inch taller than me. What a monster. He was there with a guy playing acoustic guitar, and then there was a guy playing bass. But Chris didn't have anyone. Chris Jansen. He sings Buy Me a Boat, which you just heard. He also sings Fix a Drink. He was up there, and not only was he singing, he was playing the acoustic guitar. He had the Bob Dylan-like harmonica attachment around his neck with the harmonica just sitting in his face waiting for him to play it at any time. And his right foot was stepping on a little pedal that made a bass drum sound. He was basically playing like a little kick drum, except there wasn't a whole big bass drum. It was like a little electric thing. Thoom, 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 thoom. He was playing three instruments and singing. Now, he wasn't playing all three and singing at the same time because his mouth would be occupied by the harmonica. But how cool was that? Chris Jansen is a one-man band. So you've probably heard 1,000 times what the regular version of the song sounds like. This is what we heard last night, and he just started off in some sort of wild where he was just strumming and playing and hitting that kick drum and blowing on that harmonica, and then he just breaks out into the song. If you want to see this video, the video's not very good. I was only concerned about the audio because I knew I wanted to rip it for the show. I think you can hear Angie because she's standing next to me, and Gregory is in front of me and a little bit to the right on the frame, and you can see him like turn around and smile and kind of cheer like, yeah. So to go see that, you got to be on the Facebook page, and it's not just Finding the Winning at Life Facebook page. We have the Winning at Life VIP group, and this is what it sounds like. Go there to see it, though. You hear the kick drum, you hear the harmonica, you hear the guitar. That's all Chris. Yes, and the bass room really was filling up the room like that.
Well, I ain't rich, but I
what can it buy, Chris?
But it can buy me a
last night. Again, big thanks to our iHearts Radio associates over at WNOE. Thank you, Jennifer LeCad. Thank you, little Ashley over at WNOE. A big fan of that song. It was a great night, and they finished pretty fast. They were done by, what, 10? So the old people would go to sleep and get ready for work in the morning. All right, so here's the big news of the day. The big news, this is so cool that it's a financial story again. Donald Trump announcing tariffs today on steel and aluminum.
It'll be 25% for steel. It'll be 10% for aluminum. And it'll be for a long period of time.
It'll be for a long period of time. Now, I'm hearing some great coverage on this. In fact, our Biloxi affiliate, this Michael Berry guy that comes on before us on the New Orleans affiliate, he's based out of Houston. If you're interested in this topic, he did almost 2 solid hours on it today. Go find him on the iHeartRadio app. Look up Michael Berry, and he does 2 shows. Look for his PM show from today. I think it's already up. But there's some things that he probably did the most thorough coverage. I was watching Fox Business, and I was perusing a bunch of other media outlets today. I have a couple things they don't, believe it or not. And my sources are a couple of websites. I'll share with you how I find this stuff. But, you know, we have tried this whole thing where we just jack up the import tariffs on steel real big. We did it pretty recently. You don't remember it. It was under George W. Bush. It lasted less than a year. Why? Because it's a horrible idea. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
The power of those assets. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Find out if you get to be a part of the next Gregory Ricks Live, a financial and wine tasting experience. Tuesday, March 6th, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Metairie, 504-832-9200 or gregoryricks.com.
There's more to winning at life than making a bunch of money. It's also about finding something you love doing. Gregory Ricks here. For me, I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. If you like going fast on anything with wheels, this is the amusement park. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
Dear lovers of live theater, the greatest theatrical event in the 40-year history of the Jefferson Performing Arts Society closes this weekend. The Hunchback of Notre Dame plays this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Jefferson Performing Arts Center. To complete your theater experience, why not patronize one of our 4 special restaurant sponsors? Show your theater ticket and receive a special lagniappe benefit from Ruth Chris, The Peppermill, Cafe B, and Mulots. For tickets, call 885-2000 or visit us at jpas.org.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Your money is reaching its most important phase of your life. It's the distribution phase, and we've got to make sure this money lasts from now on. It's about the return of your money more so than the return on your money.
Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Gregory Ricks and Associates, 504-832-9200 or gregoryricks.com.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
What people really don't understand is there is a war for the money going on out there. You've got Wall Street wanting your money in a pretty bad way. What are they bringing to the table for you? Risk. And then the other is the banking community. They're battling pretty hard for your money as well. You know, they get cheap money anyhow, but they want your cheap money as well to go loan out at higher rates. Then you've got the insurance industry. What primarily are they using? Annuities. And you've got to try to sort through all this on what should I be doing? What's going to work? And if anything, you probably need to find the right balance between the three and for it all to correlate.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. If you've got a financial situation, you better call Gregory. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
You can also reach me on the Winning at Life app or winningatlife.com.
Baby, you a song. You made me want to roll my windows down and cruise.
Hey, baby. Hey, baby. Copycat. I'm James Parker. It's Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. Making fun of Florida Georgia Line. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, or you just want to talk about the whole financial news that we've got going on today, 504-260-0995. So what's going on here? We had El Trumpo. Oh, by the way, I do have a couple of great calls squared away from Gregory Ricks on previous shows here. There's a couple of there's three Social Security calls I want to try and squeeze in. They're all short, too. Just this is good stuff, and you know, it just plays once on Saturday, and then no one ever hears it again. So I like to share some of the better stuff from the Saturday show with the weekday audience. That's coming up too. So if you're like, well, "Where's Gregory? This show sucks without Gregory," well, there will be some Gregory coming up. Let's take care of some news first, though. Again, Trump, here he is. The quick bite kind of surprises or surprised some people on steel and aluminum tariffs today.
It'll be 25% for steel. It'll be 10% for aluminum. And it'll be for a long period of time.
All right. Now, this, I can't prove that this happened because there's no record of it. But this is not a surprise to myself nor Gregory Ricks. I came to him with a story idea earlier this week because last week, Wilbur Ross, does that ring a bell? Well, it shouldn't. You're not that big of a nerd. He is our Commerce Secretary, Wilbur Ross. Last week, he formally submitted, actually, it's been almost 2 weeks now. I just came across it last week. But he submitted to the White House a proposal for 24% tariffs on all steel imports. And then there's also a 53% tariff on steel imports from 12 countries with the explanation of these are the people who are not being fair players in the platform of international trade. They're cheating the system, so this will teach them a lesson. The proposal also calls for a tariff of 7.7% on aluminum imports from all countries or from five countries that are cheating the system. They will have a 23.6% import on products. I ran this by Gregory, but we had bigger shows, bigger stories, and this actually fell off of the list of what we were going to talk about on two shows because we had so many callers. We just don't have the callers when I'm by myself because there's no Gregory here. What a parlor trick he is, huh? So I can't prove it, but we were going to talk about this last week. So when he says, there's just more to it. When he comes out and says, what did he say exactly then? 25?
It'll be 25% for steel.
Yeah.
It'll be 10% for aluminum.
All right. So that's not what was recommended to him. Maybe he's just trying to simplify it out. But what they're thinking about doing is 24% on all steel imports. But 53% on 12 nations that are cheating. That's what was recommended to him. So here's the rationale, though. This is where I deviate from the rest of conservative economics. You know, I'm economically speaking, most certainly a libertarian, big free trade guy. So conservatives kind of act like they're free market capitalists in a lot of instances. But when it comes to convenient ways of buying votes, boy, the politicians especially tend to blow in the wind, and sadly, a lot of the followers follow him around. Don't get me wrong, tons of criticism coming from the right, and rightfully so. I see a lot of conservative pundits already saying this is going to be horrible for the economy. Libertarians, though, this is what we say all day, every day, no matter who's president, we don't blow with the wind. But here's what the conservatives are telling us. When we say, hey, you're supposed to be our allies in the whole free market capitalism thing, they're like, no. It's not that we're being protectionist. This isn't a protectionist trade thing, you know, like the other guys like to do. No, this is for national security. That's right. See, our tanks are made of steel and aluminum. So if we don't have ample supplies of steel and aluminum, if we don't build up our own, if we don't have domestic production, then if we get into a war and everyone cuts off all our steel and our aluminum, then the good chance that could cause us to lose the war, and then we're all going to suffer anyway. So all right, let's go ahead and put on a tariff now. No, don't buy that for a second. So are you really worried about a cutoff in the event of a conflict? And if it is, then why not do what we do with so many of our other industries? Like we claim we need to be able to produce all of our own food. It's the same rationale for half of our agricultural subsidies, right? But that just sounds pretty weak. The Pentagon already has specific deals with American allies for continuing supplies of steel and aluminum and all kinds of crazy other things. And here's the deal. This is really going to take a toll on the economy. What everyone looks at, though, is how many of the steel mills are going to be saved How many are going to be grown? Are they going to hire more people? Are they going to build more steel mills? Are those mills going to hire more people? According to the 2015 census data, steel mills employ about 140,000 Americans and add $36 billion to the economy. That's nothing to sneeze at, but we're talking about 140,000. Let's say we even double it. Let's say we double the size. Let's say we triple. Let's say we multiply it by 10, the size of the steel industry in the United States. So now we're talking about 1.4 million people if, you know, the ratios work out. I know I'm oversimplifying this, but there's a point to be made. Here's the concern from free market capitalist thinking. Steel is an upstream commodity. There's downstream industries that depend on the raw material of steel. See, there's more danger in tariffs on raw materials than there are on finished products because of this very thing right here. The people who take the steel that's manufactured, whether it's done in Pennsylvania or imported from China or Vietnam or Botswana, those industries employ more than 6.5 million Americans. And those industries add $1 trillion to the economy. So are we going to go start shedding off a giant chunk of this 6.5 million American jobs that require cheap steel? Are we going to really pair into this $1 trillion that the downstream steel industries and aluminum, oh, this is just steel, we're not even talking about aluminum yet, that they contribute to the economy to save, to do what? Create a couple hundred thousand jobs for an economy that right now, or for an industry, steel industry, $36 billion? We're going to jeopardize $1 trillion worth of output to try and grow the $36 billion piece of pie, even if we double it, even if we triple it, even if we multiply it by 10, it's not worth it. It's easy to see the jobs that are saved. It's easy to see the new steel mills that are built. But very scarce is the reporting on one of these other jobs that go overseas or some of these other jobs that aren't created. You never get to see that. There's never going to be a news report on the people that were saying, hey, I think we're going to build a new, I think we're going to build this new business. And, oh, one of our raw materials just doubled in price. Well, that screws up our business plan. Throw it out the window. I guess I'm going to open, we're just going to sell snowballs over here by the gas station. The last time the federal government imposed sweeping steel tariffs, it was under George W. Bush. That's why free market capitalists and libertarians aren't big fans of George W. Bush, myself included, especially for his economic and fiscal policies. I mean, he's a great guy, fun guy. I'd love to hang out with him, have a beer with him. Not our worst president by a long shot. He did a lot of things right. This was not one of them. The tariffs were ranging, depending on what country they came from, 8% to 30%. It's a pretty big one. The higher cost for importing steel dealt a $4 billion hit to the economy, led to 200,000 job losses, and those tariffs were intended to remain in place for 3 years, but were withdrawn just a year after they were imposed. Yeah, within a year, they were like, hey, we need to start scaling these back, and then they got to work on it, and right after they made a year, it got dealt back. Excuse me. And look, this isn't a surprise. This protectionism, boy, this is great at buying votes. This is great at getting good press. This is great at having these groups, whether it's union groups or the steelworkers folks or whoever, going on TV. Sure do love that guy. Sure did save my job. You don't see the effects, because this is not just going to deal with the industries that deal with steel and aluminum in their hands personally. This is going to deal with you and me. This is going to have an effect on anybody that uses any product that contains steel or aluminum, or uses service that someone who, you know, if you call someone to build a house or build one of those general prefabbed garages, well, what are those big I-beams made out of? Steel. Yeah, everything's going to get more expensive. So, you know, if you're a company that has a fleet of vehicles, like if you're a Terminix franchise, you have a bunch of steel and you got to get some new trucks, well, all those trucks are going to be this much more expensive because the steel and aluminum's this much more expensive, which means you're going to have that much less to spend on hiring new people, expanding your business, reinvesting into your business, updating your logo so you can hire that graphics artist person, or updating your website so that money can go to the little IT geek over there coding away. It's going to go away. You're going to advertise less on great stations like WBUV and WRNO. That money that gets sucked to the steel world doesn't come out of thin air. That money is taken from other places in the economy, and you are artificially redirecting resources into a less efficient model. I don't understand the complaint where they're like, well, China's been dumping steel below market prices, you know, just whenever they produce too much. I just dump it on the market and screw everybody over. Well, then go buy it all. What a gift. Free steel. All right, we'll do the numbers. You'll hear from Gregory, tackle a couple of tough social security calls next. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Two questions. Do you have a pulse? Do you own anything? If you said yes to both, you probably need a will. You may even need a trust. We all know a lawyer. Do you know someone who specializes in estate planning? Do you really trust the husband of your sister's friend from college? Or would you feel better putting your family in the hands of the estate planning attorney of the Total Wealth Authority? I'm Wes Blanchard. What's your plan? Offices in Metairie and at wjblanchardlaw.com.
Why do I love the Winning at Life app? Oh, let me count the ways. You can listen live, podcast on demand, call the show, text the show, watch the show, connect to all our social media. Basically, it's the answer to all your questions about the show.
Hey, I wanted to call the show, but I don't know the number.
Get the app.
Hey, you guys should put some videos online that teach about finance.
Get the app. And it connects you to the charts and graphs for the numbers segment. The Winning at Life app, your wallet's favorite app.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
So what we try to do is help you find out where are you on that path and where is it taking you and what adjustments do you need to make. And we're always continuing to look down that financial road. The way I look at driving, I'm always looking ahead of where I have to go. I have part of my eye on that bumper in front of me out there a little bit, but I'm kind of looking a good ways down the road. So you're kind of keeping on your money now and looking well down the road and where it's going. And driving, that keeps you out of a lot of trouble. With your money, it does the same thing. It keeps you out of financial trouble and actually works towards keeping you in good shape.
Call Gregory Ricks and Associates. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisory representative through Global Financial Private Capital. 504-832-9200 or gregoryricks.com.
Thanks for listening to Winning at Life. By doing so, you have joined an elite demographic of people who tend to be more successful in their careers, have higher levels of education, and are generally winners. James Parker here. Wouldn't you like to get the message out about your awesome business to tens of thousands of other winners 6 days a week from Baton Rouge to Pensacola? Be on the winning team. Ask me about advertising, reasonable rates, a handsome spokesman, and an army of winners. Email James at GregoryRicks.com.
The contents on this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take the place of your attorney, accountant, doctor, football coach, plumber, your plumber's gardener, pizza delivery man, or your nosy mother-in-law. This show does not recommend the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor. Investment advisory services offered through Global Financial Private Capital. Now, back to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. At the parking lot party, a
tailgate buzz, just a sippin' on suds. Hey, y'all. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. I am your co-host, James Parker. How you doing? You know, this whole tariff discussion is built on a false premise. It's built on a false premise that both Democrats and Republicans and liberals and conservatives and people in the media on most networks, including Fox, they all seem to parrot this same falsehood. And that is that manufacturing in America is on the decline. It is not. Manufacturing jobs are on the decline, but manufacturing output higher than it's ever been, higher than any other country. It's more than double what it was 20 years ago. Hell, it's about double what it was 10 years ago. And that was double what it was 10 years before that. It is growing, and it's growing exponentially. But instead of having 700 girls in a giant seamstress warehouse sewing together your blue jeans, we've exported those jobs to some sweatshop out in the jungles of Indonesia. And I'm not kidding. They really are out in the jungle under just some awning, probably. Have you seen these things? Have you seen these breakdowns on like Vice News and 60 Minutes will go out there or whatever? Yeah, those are hell's conditions. We don't want those jobs. What do we make now? We make airplanes. We make these Boeing big old gigantic 787s. What are they up to now? 777s? We make these military aircraft that cost millions and millions, tens of millions a piece. We make things that are far more complex, more difficult, that require more skilled labor than look, I say this about China all the time. You're worried about China's manufacturing output and all the manufacturing jobs are taken from the United States. Look at what they're building. Snapping together my kid's Happy Meal toy is not the path to world domination. But don't look at the number of manufacturing jobs, because when you ask a politician, they don't see it the same way you and I see it. They see everything as votes. How many votes are out there? If I can save, 60,000 jobs, or I can get 60,000 people hired under false pretenses because I jacked up the tariffs on steel, then that's probably 60,000 votes that are a lot more likely to swing your way, aren't they? That's the wrong way to look at it. The United States, the manufacturing output of the United States, number one country, period. It used to be, though, that if you counted the European Union, because they're basically a free trade federation, much like the United States, where we have different states, we just have free trade among us all and free movement and whatever. They used to be a fair comparison, and they used to beat us. No, we passed them up. So the European Union, taken as a whole, if it was one country, would be number two behind the United States. Number three would be not China still, it's Japan. Now, how does Japan? Japan only has 100 million people, maybe 120 million people. I forgot last time I looked, though. It was around that number. China has about 1.2 billion people. So you mean to tell me Japan produces more in dollar terms and in value than China does, even though they have one-tenth of the population? Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Not all manufacturing is created equal. And all the crappy, sorry manufacturing jobs that you don't want anyway, that's what China's doing. That's what Mexico's doing. Well, Mexico's starting to delve into the semi-skilled labor, putting together air conditioners and whatnot. But that's what China's taking from us, and they're doing it cheaper than we would have done it. And so now think about it. If you go to the Gap, when's the last time you shopped at Gap? High school, right? If you went to Gap today, if you're around my age, the jeans cost about the same. And I haven't been in high school in over 20 years. Now, how did that happen? We found quicker, cheaper, more efficient ways to sew those jeans together. We found more efficient ways to box them up and put them on a boat and ship them across the Pacific Ocean. We found more efficient ways to get them from whatever port they landed in Los Angeles, scooted around some sort of Amazon warehouse-like network and logistic all the way to the rack over there at Edgewood Mall or Lakeside Mall, depending on what affiliate you're listening to. If we didn't have inflation, the cost of your jeans would have gone down because we let those jobs go overseas, because we let the manufacturing go to where it's most efficient. You do not know better how to make jeans than the jean company. If Wrangler wants to move their sewing plant from North Carolina to Indonesia, if it's not a good idea, then they will suffer for it. Then they will change their own mind or they'll go out of business for it. But in the meantime, we all benefit. Yeah, a couple hundred people will lose their jean sewing jobs, but 320 million Americans will have access to cheaper jeans. Now, multiply that times a bazillion, because we're talking about steel and aluminum and just about everything we use. In every room right now, there's probably a steel or aluminum product. I'm swimming in it right now. And you very well may have a beer can in your hand. You want the price of that beer to go up? Scaring you now, aren't I? Number four on the list, manufacturing output by country. There's China. There they are. So why is number one worried about number four so much? Huh? You know who's after China? Germany. Here's the amazing part about Germany. They only have about 80 million people. But how does this little country, how does this tiny country that's smaller than Texas, how are they right up nipping at the heels of China? China's in fourth place there and fifth. Now there's a little bit of a gap between them, don't get me wrong. But what does Germany produce? Are they snapping together the SpongeBob toy that's going to be at the claw machine that my kids are putting a quarter in? No, they're cranking out BMWs and Mercedes. So not all manufacturing jobs are created equal. The ones we should be least concerned about are those raw material jobs. Scooping iron and cobalt and a couple of other minerals out the ground and melting them together to make steel. Whoever can do that the cheapest, that's who should do it, and that's who I'm buying from. That's who we should buy from. Is there unfair deals where, we don't have a tariff on their exports, but they have a tariff on our imports in their country? Hey, look, that's a different discussion to have. And if Donald Trump, part of me thinks, because he's a businessman and I know how these guys negotiate from hanging out with Gregory so long, part of me thinks he if he really wanted to raise it and he really thought this was best for America, then he would have already done it. He's saying he can do it by executive fiat. I don't think he can. But if that's what he wants to do, then he would have done it. He just says he wants to do it because what? He wants to see how China will react. He wants to see how Vietnam will react. Venezuela will react. Some of the countries that are on the poo-poo list over here of the import finger wagging we have going on from Wilbur Ross, our commerce secretary. But look, there is nothing wrong with the United States. Of course we have a giant trade deficit with China, and it doesn't bother me one bit. Of course the Germany's going to have a trade deficit with China too. Because Chinese people, the average Chinese citizen, is far more constrained by poverty than the average American. The standard of living, the disposable income, the ability to purchase big ticket items that we produce, it's just not going to happen. Because everyone in America, and I'm not going too far here, everyone in America can afford the little plastic utensils. This is the spork at KFC that China's producing. Everyone can afford that little plastic snap together toy at the dollar store, or half the stuff at the dollar store. Everyone in America can afford most of that cheap Chinese stuff that's fallen off the shelves at Walmart. But not everyone in China can afford a Boeing 787. Of course we have a trade deficit. We have money. We have the ability to buy more stuff than they did. We're going to have a trade deficit with most countries. My goodness, go even lower than China. Go to one of these third world hellholes. Of course we have a trade deficit with some of these little, you know, if you go too low down the totem pole, you're going to get into the countries that have no manufacturing output, and they don't, that we're not going to have a trade deficit with those. But these little emerging markets, you know, the Taiwans of the world, of course we have a trade deficit with Taiwan and Vietnam. They're making stuff and selling it to us, and they can't afford the stuff that we make. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Well, James, all that wealth is going over. No, it's not. No, it's not. Because we have all these cheap implements, what do we do? Well, a lot of times we send parts back over them and snap it together, or we take basic parts from them and we manufacture them here. And we make things that are more valuable. The value we add to their basic products, we make the more complex stuff. We're winning all over the place. And look, we're the largest producer of so much stuff. You should go to the Wikipedia page. I'm so surprised at all these, except for bentonite, because I don't know what bentonite is. What do we make with it? Aircraft carriers. It's such an easy one. Hey, let's, do we have time to do the numbers? No. All right, numbers will come in the next segment. Let me give you the quick version here. The Dow is down 420 points. Let's just go and get started. Dow down 420 points. Now, they're saying this is all Trump's call for the import tariffs on steel and aluminum, but wait, this is three down days in a row. I don't know if it's necessarily fair to have a three-day downtrend attributed to what the guy said on the third day. But look, that doesn't help things. Dow Jones is down 420 points. That's about 1.7%. Ends at 24,608. Still sounds huge. Quick reminder, where were we at the election? 18,000. So we're still 6,000. We're still 30% above that. All right, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We're winning it live with Gregory Ricks.
Mortgage Jumbo with Dwayne Stein.
I have a first mortgage. I have an $81,000 line of credit. What would you suggest for me to do?
We'll talk, and I'll walk you through everything and show you what your options are and really make you feel comfortable and let you hold on to that retirement, Miss Nancy. I don't want you to be using up all your money to live in a free and clear house. Then you're strapped. You're poor. You're eating ramen noodles. I want you to live in your house and be able to eat steak.
Mortgage Jumbo with Dwayne Stein. This Saturday at 1 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Dear lovers of live theater, the greatest theatrical event in the 40-year history of the Jefferson Performing Arts Society closes this weekend. The Hunchback of Notre Dame plays this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Jefferson Performing Arts Center. To complete your theater experience, why not patronize one of our four special restaurant sponsors? Show your theater ticket and receive a special Lagniappe benefit from Ruth Chris, The Peppermill, Cafe B, and Mulots. For tickets, call 885-2000 or visit us at jpas.org.
You know, most Americans don't have any money saved at all. And for those that do, most of them don't have enough. But now you've done the hard part. You've made the money. And now you have a real cool chance to learn the power of those assets. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Find out if you get to be a part of the next Gregory Ricks Live, a financial and wine tasting experience. Tuesday, March 6th, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Metairie. 504-832-9200 or gregoryricks.com.
I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. Gregory Ricks here. I'm a preferred access member. I get to take my own car to the track. Yeah, it might be a fast one, but it gets to go there. Talk about going to another world and escape. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. Adrenaline fun. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
What we talk about on long-term care is it is a great option. Not a high percentage of people carry that. One, it is expensive. It also might be an insurance that you don't like later down the road because it is going to be experience rated. So depending on how their claims go, they're going to adjust the rates just like everybody wrecking automobiles. But look, there are other strategies. We build it into our income planning. We build it as a doubling effect. There is a hybrid where you could use emergency money and it can become long-term care money should that situation arise.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. If you've got a financial situation, you better call Gregory. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
You can also reach me on the Winning at Life app or winningatlife.com.
Have a little dirt on my boots, but I'm taking you uptown tonight. Might have a little.
Hey, welcome back. Winning in Life with Gregory Ricks. Comments, questions, if you just want to argue, 504-260-0995. We're in the middle of the numbers segment here. And if you go, if you want to follow along on the charts and graphs that I'm looking at literally on my laptop right now, go to, get the Winning at Life app and find the numbers page there. You go to winningatlife.com. There's a little Winning at Life tab at the top. You'll see the numbers page. Everything's red, except for Twitter. For some reason, everything's red. You know, Dow took a little bit of a bath. It seems to be bouncing back in these aftermarket numbers here, but I know I looked. Sorry about that. NASDAQ down, S&P down, both about a similar amount. The Dow gave back 4.3% for February now. That's his biggest monthly drop in more than 2 years, but that doesn't really count because we didn't even have a down month for the last 15 in a row, which that was a record going back to 1959, 15 up months in a row. Yeah, I don't think that makes him evil. I think that makes just Twitter biased. Talking to Candy over here on Periscope. So if you want to check out what's really important in times like this, believe it or not, the 10-year Treasury, it lost a little bit of momentum today. 2.87% is where 10-year treasuries ended up. Gold, man, a lot of volatility, but it ended almost where it started, 1,316. It's been on a little bit of a losing streak. Overall, you see the downtrend going back about a week and a half. Oil, $61.09. Yeah, it was, man, just last week it was up at $64, and we've already given back $3 of that. Not a whole lot of action going on the short sheet over here. You know, the numbers that are coming out from the earnings reports seem to be okay. It's better than we've been used to the last couple of years, but that's going to about do it for our numbers page because I got to get to some of these calls. I promise you some good calls. Here, we're going to start with Ron.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Ron from NOLA. He has a Social Security question.
I'm 74 years old. I have not quit working and paying into Social Security. I draw my Social Security, but I haven't seen any increase in the entire time I've been working. It hasn't gone up, even though I'm still contributing.
Hang on. He's looking something up real quick. We hear you just fine, Ron. This is out of my expertise, and Gregory's double-checking.
Okay. When did you file for Social Security benefits? When did that start? There, Ron?
I never stopped working.
Okay, but when did you start Social Security benefits?
I think at the age of 60, either 66 or 67.
Okay.
But I'm still paying in. I never stopped paying Social Security. And
right.
I
understand that.
Anymore.
And, well, you are receiving cost of living adjustments. There are benefits because that is recalculating every year. Now, it's not like you're adding a bunch of money on because they look basically at your last 35 years. And it's averaged, and it's actually multi-tiered in how they credit. It's kind of complicated. But you are getting credits to that. And if you want to verify, call and ask them. But this isn't like you're getting huge jumps every year because you're working past that. But you are adding on because these are probably larger earnings years, I'm assuming, than when, say, your first 10 years of Social Security there.
Yeah, and when you
but get the, you are getting credits.
Yeah, you get that cost of living increase. A lot of that is eaten up by your increase in Medicare premiums, right? Sometimes that's a wash, too.
Yeah.
Telly, Gulfport, it looks like you're going to be last. All right, there we go. So that was Ron in New Orleans, and these are all Social Security calls that we're going to do in this last segment. I got a couple more coming, but there's another news item I want to sprinkle between the two here. A record has been broken, and this is huge, especially given the region of the country that where we broadcast here, and we all live and play. The United States crude oil production hit a record high. Oil output rose to 10.05 million barrels per day, and this is actually for the month of November. And you're like, November, we're just now getting the numbers. Now, this is the revision for the numbers from November. But this revision here from earlier estimates from the EIA say this is the first time in 47 years that we've been this high. And it barely, it just by 13/1000th on the decimal here, beat our record from November 1970. So it's about even where we were in 1970, which was our previous record. We're a couple of drops of oil over that. So we haven't been this high in 47 years, technically ever, but it's even. I mean, you look at the chart, it looks like the same one. Here's the deal, though. We just crossed that threshold, and there's no chance we're going to go back down anytime soon. And according to the experts who know more about this, how do we get so high? What? We got this high from pumping, from shale. Because we're awesome, because we figured out fracking. But this is it. U.S. government forecasts, private sector forecasts, they're all saying there's almost a consensus that we will hit 11 million barrels per day later this year. And that's like a little 10% increase from what we got going on now. So, amen. Doing great, aren't we? Who says we don't produce anything around here? Who says America's falling behind? Who says we can't compete? I'm not saying it. Here's another great call from Gregory dealing with Social Security.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Thomas, New Orleans, you're next up on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Why don't you ask this Hall of Fame financial advisor if he can help you with your question?
Yeah, well, good afternoon. My question is, I was retired. I went back to work. I got injured on the job. So I was, you know, like getting Social Security. And my question is, will it go up on my check because I worked for a year and paying Social Security, even though I was getting my Social Security check? So I was wondering if I'm gonna get a raise because of the taxes I was paying on Social Security on my check.
You will be getting credit for those quarters earned with the added on year. Might not be much, but you are going to receive credit for that. That will be added on the following anniversary.
One thing I did leave out is I do get a disability check. A check for workman's comp.
Okay.
Does that make a difference?
I don't see why not. That's not going to affect Social Security. What is your age?
My age is 76. I went back to work, got injured on the job, and right now I'm getting workman's comp, and I knew it's not going to last for good, but I just...
Right.
Was wondering if,
yeah, there's no negative effect there with your Social Security. And if you had Social Security earnings, you will get a credit for that the following year. They will recalculate that.
Okay. Well, that's good. I could use any extra money I get.
I hear you.
So anyway, right. I thank you very much.
Thank you for the call.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
All right, back live now. Live with Gregory Ricks. All right, yeah, we'll do one more. Hang on, I got to tell you another great story here. Something we're looking forward to on tomorrow's show, and tomorrow morning we are getting the jobs numbers for February. That's going to be so fun. Because what happened today, we got this headline. U.S. jobless claims plunged to a 49-year low, 210,000. Wait, a 49-year low? Yeah, you got to go back to when there was only like 100 million people in this country where we had it that low. All right. So the jobs numbers may be pretty good tomorrow. All right. All right. Hey, all right. I'm going to squeeze in one more great call. This was from the Saturday show. And if you want to hear the whole show, there was a lot of Social Security info in there. Go to winningatlife.com or get the Winning at Life app.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Tucker. Tucker's going to be next. He's calling from Greenwood. How can we help you, Tucker in Greenwood?
Okay, well, my question is, my girlfriend is drawing Social Security, and I'm still working. If we were to get married, would she still be able to keep getting her Social Security?
Why wouldn't she? It's on her record.
Okay, what, well, that's
is
all
it, what's the situation? Is it her benefit, or is she receiving a widow's benefit?
No. It's her. It's her benefit.
Yeah,
we're just gonna keep we're drawing just talking it. About it, and she didn't know if it would mess it up or what. So,
no, that's her benefit record. You won't affect that.
Now, it would affect it maybe if it was off of a divorced or widowed spouse.
Or it would be widow's benefits that it could affect.
Yeah, okay.
If she's over 62, it wouldn't.
Was that it, Tucker? Or did you have a follow up?
That's it. That's all I was wondering.
Okay, thank you for the call.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Back live here. Look, you know, are you getting sick of hearing the term fake news? Because I think I might have found some. I just don't want to use that term. Saudi Arabia is supposedly building a $500 billion mega city that's 33 times the size of New York City. And they say the whole thing's going to run on renewable fuel. What's going on? And then I also look at some of the other news that's been coming out lately. Russia. You may have heard that they announced that we have a hypersonic missile that can go faster than the speed of sound, like 14 times faster than the speed of sound and get past any missile shield. Last week, they claimed they have lasers that can shoot down satellites. What's going on? Putin have an election coming up I don't know about? All right, you're home away from the show, winningatlife.com or the Winning at Life app. Go there, check it out. It has everything you need that's show related. In the meantime, thank you for hanging out. Let's do this again. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
At Life with Gregory Ricks is a copyright of Down South Productions for the private use of our audience. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without expressed consent is prohibited. Find show contact information and podcasts in the Winning at Life app.
Gregory Ricks is an investment advisory representative through Global Financial Private Capital. 504-832-9200 or gregoryricks.com.